Here, I'm Pastor Ken. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm one of those guys that has to make those tough calls. And so this morning I had to say, okay, we're going to have the picnic here on campus. So let all those emails and complaints come to me, okay? There's a chance of thunderstorms, so, you know, lightning and stuff like that. I'm kind of afraid of that stuff. But But we're going to have fun here on campus. We're going to have a huge picnic this afternoon. It just means we don't have to move everything there, but we're going to move some stuff around here on campus. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. Come back at 3 o'clock. If you don't have tickets, again, they're available on the counter. If you're a first-time guest this morning, you go out there and you tell them, look, hey, Pastor Ken said I get in free, and they'll give you tickets, okay? I'm just saying. If you're a first-time guest this morning, you go out there to the table out there and you say, hey, Pastor Ken said I get free tickets. So, all right, it's on me. So we're glad that you're here and we're a part of this. And we've been, over the last few weeks, looking at who we are as the body of Christ, being the church, being the body of Christ. And this morning, we're going to focus on the reality of being the body of Christ. What does it mean to be a part of the body of Christ? The first Sunday that we shared this series was 2 weeks ago, and we looked at the mission and vision of our church. And we exist to lead an ever-increasing number into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we get that from the Great Commission. Jesus' marching orders to the disciples is, go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. I'm going to be with you until the end of the age. So God promised, Jesus promised to go with us, but we're going in His authority and in His strength and in His power. And so that's our vision that God has for us. But we recognize that God has put us in a particular place and given us a particular assignment. And last week we examined what these seven pursuits, we looked at the seven pursuits. And they're all up here. Being faithful in the word, faithful in compassion and mercy, faithful in living on mission, faithful as stewards, faithful in the home, faithful sharing our faith, and faithful in serving. All of these are areas where what we're calling, that we call them pursuits. And here's why we use the word pursuit. It's not as though we dreamed these up. We didn't say, hey, the church has never done this, let's do this. No, the church and God has called us to do these things. It's as though God is saying, has already active in our community, already active in this body of Christ, accomplishing these things, and He's saying to us, Yaka, come. And in Lingala, that's Yaka. Yaka means come. So if you want your kids to come, teach them a new word, Yaka. That's a great word. My grandkids love that word, Yaka. It's fun, isn't it? Okay, Yaka. And Yaka, it's as though Jesus is saying, come, join me in the work that I'm already doing. Because we don't show up somewhere and bring the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already present and active and working in our community. And so these pursuits basically give us some definition of where God is calling us to join Him in the mission that He's given this particular body of Christ in this particular place. I used to say peculiar, but my wife says, stop saying peculiar, because people will think they're peculiar, but they're particular, okay? But it is a peculiar mission. It's different and unique from other churches in Clovis. We do have the same mission to make disciples, but it's shaped differently because God has a particular mission for this particular church. And we call them pursuits also because it's not something we're going to complete. We're going to work hard, and we're going to be faithful. We want to be found faithful. This is how it all came up. The idea was, what is it that God wants us to be doing so that if He were to come back, when He comes back, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we're working toward in these pursuits. Now, today we want to talk about membership, but there's a problem with using the word membership. The challenge is because membership means a lot of things to a lot of different people. So, for instance, if you're a member of Costco, okay, that means something, right? You know, I don't belong to Costco. In fact, Kelly will tell you, I'm afraid of Costco. I don't like to go in the Costco. Number one is they have these big, huge carts, you know, and you're pushing these carts through the store. They're just huge. And so automatically you have an inferiority complex because, you know, you paid your fee and you're a member and you have access and you're inside and they have all this stuff and you have this cart that you're pushing around and it's empty and other people have their carts and they're pushing around and theirs are full. And so you must feel some... it's over to the CPA accountant in me. It just drives me crazy. I mean, Kelly, I had to stop going to places like that with Kelly because I was literally getting sick. Don't we should leave now because the cart is full enough. That's going to cost how much money? And then what's the normal comeback? But think how much we've saved. And I still don't get that. And so part of our problem with membership is we don't get that. So we go to the Costco and we expect they're going to take care of me. They're going to let me in because I paid my fee. I paid my annual fee, so they're going to let me in. I can walk around. I can smell. I can even feed my family on all the little things that they're giving out that day. And they won't charge me anything, and I can just leave and not buy anything if I just pay my fee. So I can take advantage because there's privilege in being a member at Costco, right? Now, please, 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 I've read lots of very positive things about the way Costco treats their employees. They are good. I mean, don't send me your emails about, oh, Pastor Ken, you've got Costco all wrong. So, or you can if you want to. I have a place for those emails. Then I thought, okay, what's another membership thing that we, okay, oh, GB3. I was a member of GB3. Now, you can look at me and know that he wasn't a participating member at GB3. You're thinking, okay, you know, you didn't take that membership seriously, did you? You know, you're supposed to go to GB3. But you know what? Here's what I found out about GB3. They don't expect you to show up. Because if you all showed up, I'm not just talking about GB3, right? I'm talking about every health and fitness club that exists on the face of the planet. If every one of their members showed up at a particular moment, what would happen? They couldn't handle it. You'd all be standing in line waiting. But they're banking on what? In January, they're going to offer all kinds of deals. You can get half off. You can pay for 1 month and get 90 days, you know, everything, you know. Sign a contract. If you sign a 2-year contract with us, we will let you have the first 3 months free. Wow, that's great. Why? Because by the end of 3 months, you're never coming back. And they know that. Okay? So they design it, and they know, okay, well, we can handle 100 people. Okay, let's sell 1,000 tickets because there's not going to be 300 people in this place at any one time. Now, on a side note of that, this church, our church, we average about 500 people a weekend, okay? But did you know if everyone showed up that calls this place home on a particular Sunday, we'd probably be in the neighborhood of 750, 800 attendance on Sunday morning. You say, yeah, oh no, don't clap. Wait, because this gets worse. Okay, don't clap yet. Because here's the problem. You say, well, how's that possible, Ken? How can that possibly be? It's probably, I'm being conservative with 750, okay? I'm probably being conservative. Because here's the reality. Most people believe that they attend church regularly if they attend about half the Sundays a year. Okay, so now just do the math, okay? So let's say if there's 500 people, 750, okay? So there's 500 of those, they come half the time. What have you just done? That's 250 people. That's the average every week. The other 250, they come every week. They come every single cotton picking Sunday. Praise God for them, right? Okay? And we have 500. There we are. See what I'm talking about? Wow. Now, here's the deal. You say, well, hold on, wait, could we handle 750 a week? Oh, absolutely, we can handle it. Now, you would start pushing me. I'd get a few more emails about, hey, we need more parking. We need more parking. And that's our problem. We're ready to build parking. We are ready to build it. We're ready to put some parking on this property. And in fact, the good news is we have the money. The bad news is it's in your pocket. You know? Okay? All right? So, you just ought to know. It's just the come to Jesus meeting. I'm just going to let you guys know everything clear. And those who are visiting are saying, man, when did we pick a Sunday to come? You know? But I want you to grasp that there's a difference in membership in our community, in our understanding of membership. And so think about it. A country club, if you're a part of a country club, and I'm not slamming country clubs, the reality is you pay a fee so you can have certain privileges and benefits to that, okay? Any kind of membership that you, even the church, There's an expectation, and it's rightfully so, that there are certain privileges and expectations you're going to have. I get that. But here's the difference. Here's the difference between being in the body of Christ and being a member at one of these other organizations. Here's the difference. It's the difference between being on a cruise ship and being on a rescue ship. If you're on a cruise ship and you're a passenger, they're there to do what? Feed you, I think. I think that's the object, feed you. But if you're there, if you're on a rescue ship, your purpose is to find people who are drowning and rescue them and bring them and restore them to life and bring. This is a rescue ship. Membership is in the body of Christ is more like a rescue ship than it is a cruise ship. That's who we are. So, but Paul talks about this whole idea of being part of the body of Christ. Earlier when we were sharing communion, Andy shared that passage of scripture that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is, where he talks about we share from the one loaf because we're part of the same body. We share from the one cup because we're part of the same body. We have been made part of the body. But Paul talks more about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12 is where I'm going to begin. But I want to pull your attention to a key verse in verse 27. Verse 27 says this. Let me find it real quick. Verse 27. Is it up on the screen? Thank you. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Okay, can you read that okay? All right, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ. Say it with me. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, this is the theme that Paul is trying to express in this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 12. So let's read verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. I meant to tell you something else. During this series, we have this book that's available for a resource. It's called I Am a Church Member. And we're not preaching through this book, but this is a good resource for you. Only $5 at the Connection Center. If you want those available, they're back there available. We paid $5 for them, okay? We're just getting our money back, that's all. All right, I want you to encourage you to take a look at that. But there we are in verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Now, I'm kind of going high-tech, low-tech. I got my iPad, I got my 3x5 cards, and I even brought my Bible because it's been an unusual week. That's all I'm saying, okay? And I've been... God is really, this particular passage is so incredible. The body is a unit. Verse 12. The body is a unit. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So there's one body, there's one unit, there's one body. Many parts all form one body. Many parts, every part being essential to the body. Now, what's Paul talking about? In that, he's talking about your physical body. Now, I don't know about you, but there are parts of my body that don't do the same things that they used to be able to do. And that impacts the way I'm able to live and to move and breathe, okay? There are some things that just don't work the way they should during the daytime, and there are some things at night that are working too hard. I want them to stop working, okay? And so there's frustration, but the reality is we get this, is that our body is made up of many parts. And Paul's saying, so it is with Christ. We are the body of Christ. Everyone is part of it. So look around the room, please. Okay, just kind of look around the room. This is the body of Christ, you say? Okay, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is simply this. If you receive the blood of Christ and the bread of Christ this morning, you are confessing that you are a Christ follower in Jesus Christ. And I believe that God is sovereign, and so your presence here this morning is not an accident. And so the reality is here on Sunday morning at 9:56 a.m., October the 4th, we are gathered. This is the body of Christ, and each one of you are part of it. Now, if that's true, Okay, I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I want my whole body to help me accomplish whatever it is I'm trying to move for. And if there's part of my body, if there's a part that's not functioning well or not doing its part, the rest of my body suffers. So listen to what Paul says throughout this. For we were all baptized. How did this happen? For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We are one, but we're many. We're many, and we're one. You get that? It's the whole, we are the body. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I don't know how many times he's going to say it, but he keeps saying it over. He must be a really important. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be what? No division, so that there should be unity in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other, so that if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, say it with me. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, I love Paul's emphasis on the whole idea of being one part, one body, many, many parts, nothing. But one of the things I want you to recognize, and there's two things, a couple things I want you to recognize. First of all, is that God did this. God arranged the parts. So you look around the room, God arranged all this, and then he ordered it. He did this. You may have thought this morning, you know what? What are we going to do today? I don't know. Well, let's go to church. Okay, what time are we going? Let's go to the 9:45 service. You may have thought that you were in control of all that. But no, God is sovereign, and God brought you here this morning so that you could hear this and you could be a part of the body of Christ, because you are part of the body of Christ. And so God did all this. It's not something we did. It's something that God has accomplished. Christ did. God arranged it. God ordered it. And Christ has accomplished this. One body, many parts. Many parts, one body. Now, here's the other thing that's interesting about what Paul has to say. He says it in three different ways. He says there is no exclusion. Did you notice? Did you catch that? The first exclusion he talked about was the fact that there's no Jew or Gentile. What's he talking about? There's no racial exclusion. So it doesn't matter what your race, culture, or anything is, whatever your family background, that is not a problem. That is not an issue, because Christ has made you a part of the body of Christ. It also doesn't matter what your social status is or your economic status, where you stand. Paul was talking to slaves and masters. He's basically looking at the A to the Z of the economic scale. And it says that does not qualify you or exclude you from being part of the body of Christ. So we're all included, and there's no exclusions. The interesting thing is the next thing he talks about is I love it. He says, now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. What's going on there? The foot has an opinion. The foot is saying, I'm not as important as the hand, so I'm not part of the body. Now, what's Paul saying? He's saying to you and I, your opinion about your worthiness doesn't exclude you. So if you think, well, you know, I'm not as essential as I could be. I'm the toenail. You know, or I'm the, you know, I don't think, I don't see myself, you know, I don't have all those gifts and abilities. Wait, back up. Who arranged this? You? Me? No, God did that. Who ordered this? God did that. How are we, so it is with who? With Christ. So it is with First Baptist Church of Clovis? No. So it is with Christ. So it is with Ken Hendricks? No. Ken Hendricks is not the distinguishing factor. It is not. There's no exclusion. So your opinion of whether or not you belong or not doesn't matter. It does not exclude you. And I think it's interesting that Paul begins there. Because many times we disqualify ourselves from the body and we say, you know, I hear the message, I know what he's talking about, I know I'm part of the body of Christ, but no, I'm not really. I'm just a nobody. No, you are not. Jesus Christ did not come and die on the cross for nothing. He came to die on the cross for someone of great value. Your value is not wrapped up in who you are. Your value is wrapped up in what Jesus Christ did. Did you hear me? Yeah. Because I'm so glad about that because I am one messed up dude. I'm a broken, foolish, and except for Jesus Christ, that's all I got. If it were based upon my opinion, I'd never get out of bed. But then he goes on. Because the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. So what's he talking about there? Other people's opinion about you does not exclude you either. You are the body of Christ, and every one of us is part of it. Have you memorized that verse yet? Because I want you to memorize that verse. Verse 27. All those things are true. We are being the body. Today, later today, you're going to see a lot of examples of us being the body, where the body comes together, hands and feet, everybody's connecting, and they're focused on getting something done, and now there's a big change of plans because we're not going to be at point A, we're going to be at point B, and this is plan B, but it wasn't God's, you know, God did that, okay? God's in, because even the decision I made this morning wasn't something I made on my own. It was God making the decision through me because God is sovereign. We didn't surprise, God didn't say, oh, why are they moving? He knew all along it was going to be on this campus. How does he do that? Well, that's what makes him God. He is God. He's not us. Now, this is fun. Okay. Because I didn't get it all on there, and I have to have these 3x5 cards. And if somebody steals these 3x5 cards, I may be in trouble. But we are the body. We are the called out ones. We are the one, the body, the church is called the ecclesia in Greek, and it means we are the called out ones. That's what we're talking about when we talk about these pursuits. God has called us out. He says, I'm giving you a mission. Yaka, come with me, and these are the things we are going to accomplish together. We are the called out ones. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. And I love it when Jesus was on the planet, he was moving the temple. The temple was no longer going to be in Jerusalem, but instead the temple was going to be where? Within the believer. And so when you and I are gathered together, we become the worship place of Jesus Christ. The presence of Christ is here because not because we built this building and not because we bought this piece of property, not because we turned the lights on, but because you and I are here and we have the presence of Christ living in us. And so the temple is present here. The body of Christ is present here. Now, here's the problem, okay? And here's the challenge. You're saying, okay, what does all this mean, and what difference does it make, okay? Next week, we're going to begin a new study in Daniel, the book of Daniel, who was a young boy when Jerusalem was razed by King Nebuchadnezzar. If you know the story, King Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem. They razed it. I mean, they tore down the walls. They tore down the temple. They took all the remaining wealth of Jerusalem. They basically took it off to Babylon. Anyway, they took it north, okay? And they get there, and Daniel's in that group of people, okay? 50 years later, King Cyrus from the north came, conquers Babylon, and he sends some of the Jews back to Jerusalem with these instructions. 50 years later, okay? Now, Daniel was a little boy. Now, he's an older man, okay? I have to get used to that. Okay, he's an older man. He's 60 years old, probably, maybe in his 70s. And now the first of the exiles come back to Jerusalem, and they have an assignment from King Cyrus: rebuild the temple. But what did they do? Well, they got there, and they started the rebuilding. They got focused on, they were the body, they were there, they had a purpose, they were going to work focused on it, and they were going to accomplish God's mission. But what did they do? They got distracted. Let me read to you what happened. They were there, they reestablished the foundation, and then work stopped for 15 years. Nothing happened. Now, have you ever been to a work site where nothing's going on for 2 or 3 months? Very quickly. We saw it in 2008, didn't we? We saw houses that basically were in halfway through production, and a year later, they're still sitting there. What happens? Dust settles. I mean, it's, you know, things start tearing down and things start falling down. Well, that's what was going on. 15 years, that place stayed dormant. And then there was a prophet. His name was Haggai. And God spoke to Haggai, and he said, this is what I want you to tell the people. This is what the Lord Almighty say. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled homes while this house remains a ruin? What's Haggai saying? What's God saying to the Israelites? He said, I noticed something. This is Ken's observation. This is my paraphrase. God's saying, you know, hey, guys, you know, King Cyrus brought you back here to rebuild the temple. Do you remember that? 15 years ago, that was your assignment. God has given us, this body of Christ, an assignment. Okay? Okay, so, but I've noticed you're not doing what you were told to do. But instead, wow, you're remodeling your homes, you know, got a new driveway and got the new BMW in this driveway. Things are going well. I mean, man, it looks like things are going. You've established your home, but my home is neglected. You say, well, what are you talking about, Kenny? You want to rebuild something? You want to build a new worship? No, no, no. This is a concept problem. They're building their own lives at the expense of building up the temple of God. And I wonder if we have the same problem. I wonder if we're having the same challenge. We're so focused on building up our own kingdom, building up our own homes. And I'm not talking about remodeling, because, hey, I remodeled our kitchen this year. Okay, so if then I'm in sin too, okay? I'm not talking about that. What am I talking about? What are you building up in the body of Christ? And listen to what Haggai says. And ask yourself, could Haggai be speaking to churches today? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. In other words, think about what's going on in your life. You have planted much, but have harvested little. And you say, well, I'm not a farmer, so this doesn't apply to me. Hold on a minute. You have planted much. Have you harvested little? You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in them. That sounds like a lot of people I know who are living their life to glorify themselves and to build up their own kingdom, and yet say, I'm a Christ follower. And they're living, they're investing all of their energy in their kingdom on this planet, when in reality, this planet, this kingdom that they're building will not last for eternity. Please, 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 I am not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about, once you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, are you now being or becoming a disciple of Christ? Are you building, are you really being part of the body of Christ? We began to talk about this whole issue of membership and asking people, we want them to be a member, but membership has lost its meaning. What we really want is we want people who are mission partners. people who are in this with us, people that can say, you know what? I see what God is wanting us to do. I am part of the body of Christ. I want to be a part of this. I want to be invested in this. And I don't want to just be on the outskirts. We don't need any spectators, you know? I think when the rescue ship goes out, they don't have room for passengers. They have room for people who are committed to the task. We need mission partners. And here's what I think a mission partner is. A mission partner, first of all, understands how much they have been given through grace. We have nothing to bring to Jesus Christ. We are all broken. And Jesus Christ, His grace alone, makes us, qualifies us. And I think that most people who do not give generously, when I say give generously, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about everything your whole life. Who do not live generously, they have never captured this first thought. They don't understand how much they've been forgiven. How much they have been given because of the grace of Jesus Christ. They see themselves, mission partners will see themselves as someone who has received much and who now has great responsibility. For whomever has received much, much will be required. They are engaged in the mission. They see their part in being the body and they live it out. They show up. You say, well, you know, attendance isn't the only indicator of a church's health, okay? Please, don't hear me say that. Nickels and noses is not the only way to determine whether or not the church is on alignment and going where God wants to. There, cancer grows. Did you hear me? Cancer grows. So just because you got nickels and noses out the wazoo doesn't mean... Did I just say that? It's just because you get all these numbers. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily pursuing God and going to be found faithful. Please, don't misunderstand me. But what I'm telling you is that they show up. Mission partners show up. When we ask them, they show up. They participate. They invest. They find ways to serve and to share. They see this body as a priority, and it's reflected in the way that they live their lives. They are growing and being and becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's a mission partner. And we want mission partners to join us. Earlier this week, we had a great opportunity. Several of us staff and I, we went to the Clovis School System. They had a breakfast to honor the foundation, raise money for this Clovis Schools, and also to kind of give the superintendent the opportunity to share some of the stuff that's going on in Clovis Schools. And, you know, as we're a partner with Clovis Schools. We're in Clovis Schools. We want to encourage. We pray for teachers. We're invested in that. And we listen to stories of how the school system is changing people's lives. We watch videos of how teachers were impacting individual students. And almost to the person, each student and former student shared this. They said this: this person changed my life. And that we saw evidence of how our schools, by doing that, we saw evidence. It's a reason that we're in the schools, because we want to be a part of what they're doing, because they are, in fact, changing people's lives. And we want to partner with them. Why? Because our mission, we exist to lead an ever-increasing number of people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's part of our mission, that there would be life-changing people's lives. But here's the reality. They have a great mission, and I applaud it. But guess what? Your part and this body is much more essential than what they're doing. Because here's the truth. We can impact people's education. We can raise their educational level. We can improve their health. We can even improve their economic status. We can show them how to be smarter and better in every way that they do. But if they don't have Jesus Christ in their life, they go to hell when they die. And they will have gained the whole world and lost everything. And there are a lot of Christ followers who are investing in their kingdom. And when they die, yes, they're going to go to heaven, but they're going to lose everything. How much did the rich man take with me? Nothing. Or how much did the rich man leave? All of it. I'll get that joke right by the third service. Okay? We are the body of Christ, and each of us is part of it. And we need your part, your functioning, active, alive, contributing, participating part. And you need it too. Your life will never find its greatest purpose in anything else. You know, I struggle with that, telling you that we need it. Because here's the reality. Maybe we don't. I don't think we do, actually. We have Jesus Christ. We're going to accomplish the mission. We're going to do it without you. But you're going to lose something. And many of you have already lost some things. You've lost the opportunity to be a part of some of the great things that God has already done through this church. You were here, and people challenged you, and you said, you know, I think I'll hold back. But you're here today, and I'm asking you, will you become a mission partner? Will you commit yourself to that kind of mission? Because I don't know about you, but I want my life, the rest of my life. I've got some pretty good screw-ups in past my last, the before today. But I want the rest of my life to be lived for the kingdom of God, building the kingdom of God. I want to be part of this body of Christ, a body of Christ that accomplishes the mission that God has given us. And I want you to be a part of that. Not because you're going to help me, but because of what Christ is going to do in your life. Throughout, all over the in the worship center, there's a couple places back on the, there's everywhere. There's these cards, they're available. They're back at the Connection Center. There's some on the counter back there. There's one up on the front here. But it's also available online, okay? I want to show you. There's a card. Basically, if you want to renew your membership, we renew our membership annually. If you want to renew it, it's right there. Membership Partner Covenant, you can go online to our website right there, and you click, and there's, if you click on it, can you click on it, Danny, and go there? Is that possible? Yeah, there we go. There's the partner. You can sign your name. You can enter all that and say, I've already attended Membership 101. So basically, we've created the form online. So you just go to fbclovis.com/mission partner. You don't even have to pick up one of these cards. If you want to pick up a card and do like me, I got 3x5 cards everywhere. So if you want to do it on a piece of paper, that's fine. Or you can go online and you can do it, fill in the information, and you've made your commitment. If you have never attended Membership 101, you're going to need to do that. But we have that coming up very near in the future in October. Now, why do I say all this? Because I want mission partners. I don't want members anymore. I don't want people who are sitting back and saying, hey, Pastor Ken, feed me. I want people who are saying, Ken, Pastor Ken, how can I be a part of this body of Christ? Show me where I can serve. Show me where I can work. I want God to be using me. And, oh, no, better than that, God has telling me this is what I need to be doing. I'm going to start doing it, okay? That's what I need. We need people who are mission partners. Will you be a mission partner with us? Will you join us in this incredible task that God has given us? Let's pray. God, we're grateful that you're here this morning. We're grateful that that this body of Christ is assembled. Every part that's here is here, not by accident, but because you brought them here. We're grateful, Lord, that we can sing and praises to you. We're grateful, Lord, that we can worship you this morning. But you died. Your son came to this planet and gave up his life and died for us. He made an incredible sacrifice, and now he's calling us to do the same. He's calling us to step out of our comfort, step out of our complacency, and to say, I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. I want to be a part of this body of Christ as a mission partner. I want to serve in a way that honors and glorifies God, and I want to be a part of what God accomplishes through this body. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.